Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mine are quite rude, I should say, and I'm a bit worried about it.
So. I have not heard them.
Now I've built it up like it's awful.
It's fine.
It's fine, guys, yeah. It's fine. Shall I go first?
Yes, please. Set the tone. Let me know what I'm dealing with.
Okay. I'm a feminist, but when we needed a new joke about an inappropriate doctor to do surgery on the film set of a feature film I'm making, I pitched one that included the tagline, "But he's a gynecologist." And a white straight male actor who was there said, "Let's not make gynecology funny, shall we?" And I had to go, "Sorry guys, we can't do this because Matt's a feminist." And I was just pitching like 10 in a row, like really fast. I agree with him.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
It's not okay. But it was just in the moment, and his face, he's just like a 30-something white straight film star.
But he's tuned in.
Go on, you go on.
Is he single?
He actually is, and he is looking.
Really?
Mm.
No one believes that I want to go out with someone called Matt, because I look like I'm in One Direction, but I do want to. Okay, here we go. I'm a feminist, but sometimes when I'm masturbating, iconic misogynists pop into my brain. Like, I've come thinking about Donald Trump. I didn't mean to. I know. He appears, and then I'm telling him in my brain, get out of there. But then I'm like, I got somewhere to be. I may as well just. If it makes anyone feel better, I dominated him, but. No, I'm so sorry.
I thought you meant he just kind of flashed into your peripheral and you were going, I didn't imagine a whole roleplay scenario.
Yeah, I should have gone with
that. I thought
that.
It was just like when your brain offers you the worst thing because it's just like frightened of it or something.
Yeah.
I didn't imagine you'd roleplayed in your head. That makes it so much worse.
When I was a kid, also Jafar from Aladdin. No, Jafar, he's an evil, misogynistic, wizard, old man.
I see that.
He has that stick that he hypnotizes you with. You need to rewatch it. It's quite hot.
I don't want to be hypnotized with Jafar's stick.
Oh, come on.
I will not come on. I'm a feminist, but today I put two tickets at the box office for a friend, and she texted me and said, they're not there. And that was because I'd put them under her husband's name.
Oh.
Okay, I forgot she used... Her husband's surname, I'd forgotten she doesn't use his name, that she uses her maiden name, which I'm sure is not a term I meant to use. I'm a feminist, but I say things like maiden name. From when she was a maiden! Because I originally knew him, and so I just think of them as the Talbots, because they're a family, they have a kid, right? You are too judgy. That is... She does not go by Talbot. Okay.
Yeah, we're in a safe space, guys. Come on.
You do one. Do a rude one.
No, there's one that's too rude. I'll do it last. I'm a feminist. Oh, this. I can tell now that they're going to react to this too, but maybe not. Maybe not. I'm a feminist, but I sometimes find pregnant people gross.
Today's show is cancelled. I am so sorry. Due to rain.
I have friends who are getting pregnant now and they're always
like... Oh, that must be awful for you. How do you deal? How do you deal? No, like, tell us.
They're like, touch my belly. Oh, you can feel them moving. No.
You come to Donald Trump.
I don't want to feel your alien baby moving. I mean, look...
No, I get it. I get it. It is very sci-fi having a baby. It's something that grows inside you. It's a parasite.
Yeah, but you just can't say that to a pregnant person.
No. No. No, although there might be pregnant people in, and there probably are. And if you are pregnant,
Don't find you. I'm like, I don't, but it's just. It's when I touch the belly or
Let's
when.
Get back to Jafar's hypnotism.
Cool. Yeah.
Someone in this audience is a feminist, but just before this show, they went to the loo. Came out of a stall and went, Mae Martin, Susie Ruffle. Oh my God, this is my wife's wet dream. Did that happen to somebody here?
Yeah.
They bumped into Mae Martin and Susie Ruffle. Was that clear?
I didn't say wet dream.
Really?
That's the story I heard.
We heard, that's my wife's wet dream.
What did you say? You said it was a dream. What, just a dream? Just a daydream or a... A great dream? You did not say that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think there's some...
Nobody says great dream.
There's some backpedaling
going
on here.
It's my wife's great dream. Yeah.
I'm a feminist, but I was having phone sex the other day with a woman. And I was just getting wrapped up in the moment, describing things, doing my best, working hard, and... And I said, I'm going to come inside you. And then I realized, I was like, oh no, sorry, I can't, sorry. I was like, I wish I could. Yeah. But don't get pregnant. It's too rude. It's very early.
No, you're not too rude. It's just too early.
Yeah.
Live from the underbelly at the Edinburgh Fringe, the Sponsored Edge Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with Deborah Francis White, guest co-host Mae Martin, and our very special guest, Susie Ruffle, talking about role models. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. Have you had a guilty week or a feminist week, would you say?
Oh, I mean, sort of guilty. And guilty feminist, is that...
That's the show you're in now.
Yeah. I see what you've done there.
Yeah. So I'm sort of saying, there's a mix. I can always tell in the audience who are the guilty people and who are the feminist people.
Yeah.
Because we're all both, that's the point of the show. But some of us are 60-40 one way or the other. And some of us are 90-10. Our theme today is role models. And Mae, you suggested this topic.
Yeah.
Is that because you need one?
Okay, yeah, I desperately need one. I'm very obsessive. I have so many heroes. I'm like a super fan of many people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I get really obsessed.
Oh, shit. Cool. Is this the point where you're going to tell me that you became a comedian to get on this show?
Yeah. I have a shrine.
You were originally a One Direction fan.
Yeah.
And then... I'm so interested to see how this is going to go. So let's bring our guest on, and we can talk about Challenge while she's on. She's a wonderful comedian. She's performing here at this year's Fringe. You must check out her show. Please welcome to the stage, Susie Ruffel.
Yay!
Hello.
How are you? Hey, man.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
The last time I saw Susie, we were on our friend's hen night.
I mean, like, Saturday.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, my God, let me think back to...
A few days ago,
6 days ago. Yeah, go on.
It was... I've never been on a hen night. Did you have fun?
Yeah.
It was crazy how we all became... This is all our cool, kind of smart, cool friends. We just became...
Like, yeah. Just crazy.
We became girls
it
on a hen night.
It does lower your IQ, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Just okay, screeching,
do you know what I feel about hen nights? I feel about any large groups of the same sort of people, homogenized. I don't actually even care if it's like a feminist convention, pride, a big group of bankers, environmentalists, the House of Commons. Birds of a feather are cunts.
Yeah.
The TV show.
No.
Big groups of people.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you just become like a herd. So,
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like you exacerbate each other's worst qualities.
Yeah.
Until there was...
Yeah.
Did you do anything crazy on the hen night?
No, I took my top off, I think. Nudie, I had like a crop top on. I was like, wow, now I feel embarrassed. You know, you have that brief moment when you're just the right amount of drunk to be like, I'm fucking awesome. And yeah. Like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
That's back when it's box. The responsibility of your friends to remind you.
Oi.
Yeah, I should have been like, put your shirt back on.
That's when you need a role model on a hen night. Segwaying beautifully.
Ooh, very nice.
Wasn't that beautiful? Nice. It was charming. Do you have any role models?
I do. It's a real cliche, actually, for what I do and who I am. My biggest role model is Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, nice.
I love her. I love her early stand-up. Yeah. It's just... There's an album on Spotify called Taste This, and it is just incredible stand-up. Like, long before she was a famous person, like... You know, big enough to like have like a small deal to put out like an audio album, but just incredible stand-up, incredible observations. Like she's just incredible. And then coming out and losing everything, and then being able to sort of create a career again is just, I love her.
In like mainstream, like middle America,
yeah,
too.
It's
like, yeah.
I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the difference between a mentor and a role model. And I think a mentor is someone who comes along and says, "I think that you." Don't need to be limited by the expectations of society.
Yeah, Ellen hasn't done that to me.
But I'm saying
if anyone knows Ellen, I would fucking love her to do that for me.
No,
so,
no. But this is I think the difference between a mentor and a role model is a mentor comes along and says you don't need to live with the limitations that society has imposed upon someone who's born as you, and a role model is someone who shows you that.
Yeah.
So you see them and you go. If I look at Maya Angelou, I know that doesn't matter what society has limited me with, because whatever society has limited me with, it's always limited Maya Angelou with more. But she's gone out and changed it. And that's what Ellen's...
Yeah.
That's what you're saying Ellen's done.
Yeah.
That
definitely.
Although she hasn't knocked on your door yet, she still mentored you from afar. That's what a role model is.
Although, she did. But then at the same time, I remember watching her TV series and being sort of about 14, and she came out, and it was around the time that I was like... Oh, I think I might be gay, in case anyone was confused. Because it was around that time, and I was like, oh, never tell anyone that thing about you, because you lose all your stuff.
Yeah, because her show got cancelled, people were burning her effigy, basically.
Yeah.
People were, So, that's true.
And she was called, like, Ellen DeGenerate in the press. Like,
again.
It took me, like, another 7 years and quite an unhappy relationship with a man to come out.
But one cool thing was that Oprah was the one who helped her come out, right?
Oprah
was in the scene in the TV show
where
Ellen
comes
out. Yeah, Oprah's a... So that must have been nice to be like, well, Oprah's on her side.
Yeah.
But you didn't know
you
Oprah,
You get to come
so.
Out. You get to come out. Everyone gets to come out.
Yeah, but eventually the fact that she just stayed around, she persisted basically.
Yeah.
Allowed you to go, oh, she didn't go and crawl under a rock.
Yeah.
She actually became one of the most famous, influential, loved women in America.
Yeah, which is crazy when you think about
Yeah.
A lot of America.
Yeah. I remember her big comeback stand-up hour after she'd had the show really cancelled and everything. The show had been cancelled and she'd kind of gone into hiding for a while.
And went back onto the American circuit. It was playing the clubs.
Then did this hour where it opened with her. She was like, I don't want to talk about the controversy. And it opens with her doing an interpretive dance just about how
so
she
good.
Felt. But
so
it's
good.
So funny. And then she moves on and does it. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever feel the obligation to be a role model? That if you're not visible, that young teenage queer women won't have people in their eye line to look at? Do you feel a responsibility or a...
Yeah, like, I do a podcast. Sorry, guys. but me and Tom Allen do a podcast. It's just a bit queer. And we get, like, a lot of messages from young queer people being like, oh, I haven't come out yet. You two are my first gay friends.
Oh.
And me and Tom are like, oh, like, it's really nice. But then I don't like the idea of being anyone's role model because
no.
I am a fucking idiot. Like,
it's stressful, yeah.
I'm like, I'm not good at life. Like, like, I've been here doing my show for two nights. Both nights, one of my friends have had to tell me to leave the courtyard because I'm so drunk. Like, I like, Suze, you're, do you want to just, you know...
Put your shirt back on.
You know, like, you didn't even do that.
Yeah. I find it tricky because... it makes me overthink things sometimes, but like I had a huge amount of support from the lesbian community, but I also
you're welcome.
Thanks. But I also date men as well, and I was very scared to say that on stage because I sometimes would be I got booed at a lesbian event.
I apologize for that.
Yeah, it's confusing, you know. Yeah.
That's a really interesting one because they've made an assumption.
Yeah.
That you've set out a stall that you're representation for their tribe. And then somehow you've taken that away from that group.
Yeah, which I get totally. Because I also talk a lot about like not labeling sexuality and how I don't necessarily identify as anything. And then I think that sometimes sounds like I'm in the closet or like I'm saying because I don't want to be that. And that's not the case.
But then bisexual people often say that they're the most marginalized, overlooked. No one believes them.
Yeah, it's erasure.
It's erasure, yeah.
I wish I had a camera in my brain that could show people my Trump dreams.
Then I don't.
But then I can.
Please put your hands together, make enormous woohooing noises, and break laws if necessary to welcome to the stage Mae Martin!
Great. I have physically stood up to do this, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about my hero, Bette Midler. Yes, any fans? Any Bette Midler fans? Oh my god, she's outrageous. She's vivacious. She's a triple threat. You're telling me, 10 people? She's. I love Bette Midler. I'm a huge fan. I guess I saw the movie Hocus Pocus when I was 6 years old. Oh my god, Hocus Pocus, if you haven't seen it, it's about these three witches. They take over the town of Salem. It's a 90s kind of Disney movie. Bette Midler is the most powerful of the three witches. Oh my god, she's so powerful. It is crazy to believe how powerful. And I was 6 years old and I saw it. And this is me at six. I had a bowl cut, like a mushroom cut. I always wore a formal men's blouse. Buttoned up, like crisply ironed. I was a very formal child. Red tartan trousers and a suede waistcoat and a bow tie. Genuinely, that was like my best look. I was like, oh, at your service, sir. Just a lot of like a Victorian serf. And I saw Hocus Pocus. My parents took me to see it 12 times in cinemas. They were so indulgent, my parents. They'd drive me, they'd wait in the foyer. I'd go in by myself, so many snacks. Just like, oh, my usual seat, please. So creepy. And I didn't realize, though, that I had a crush on Bette Midler. I didn't know that's what had happened, right? Was I'd got a crush on Bette Midler. But I knew that I wanted, this is as far as my thinking had got, that I wanted to be physically alone when I thought about her. I was like, just give me some space. So I can think, so I'd be at dinner with my parents and I'd be like, thank you for a lovely meal. If you don't mind, I'd like to retire to my bedroom to think about Bette. And then in my room, just really sitting seriously and giving it. And my room was a shrine to Bette Midler, just photos all over the wall. There's a photograph of me in my room in my suede waistcoat posing, just like, cool. And then there's a poster next to my bed of Bette Midler naked, covered in rose petals. And also, like, I had no disposable income. Where was I sourcing these images? Like, my parents must have got me that poster. Anyway, I had my first sex dream about the witches and Hocus Pocus. But I was six, so I didn't know what sex was. So it wasn't like any sex happened in the dream. There was just a vibe. And if you remember your first vibey dream where you wake up and you feel kind of guilty and confused, but you're like, I need to get back to sleep to get back to that vibey dream. There was in the dream, the witches had kidnapped me and they're going to steal my soul to make them eternally young. That's the plot of Hocus Pocus. I wasn't a creative genius. But I swear there was a vibe. I had this sense, I was like, if I can just get back to sleep, I had this sense that the witches would be like, yeah, we're going to steal her soul, but then maybe we'll fuck her. They never did. But I've been recently thinking, was I just a fan of Bette Midler, or was this like an addiction? Like, because I've had addictive behavior in my life. I'm like, was this just an addiction? Because the definition of addiction is when you're compulsively pursuing pleasure despite it having negative consequences in your life. Guys, seriously, my grades at school were slipping because I was thinking about Bette so much. Like, I have report cards from teachers that are like, yeah, May is a good student, but she did do another project about Bette Midler, and it was a math project, and like, it was like affecting my family relationships. Like, I played the song Wind Beneath My Wings so many times on repeat that my brother, who was such a peaceful child, he was like, he's just such a calm, peaceful boy. He brought the CD to the dining room table at dinner and snapped it in front of me. And my parents were like, we support him. It's crazy. But I've been learning about this thing called dopamine, this brain chemical dopamine, and it's kind of the common denominator with all addictions. It's released in the brain when you desire something, right? It's biologically crucial because it motivates us to find food and sex and things like that. But basically, they did this experiment in the 70s where they measured the dopamine levels in somebody's brain when they're eating an apple. All this dopamine is released. They're eating a delicious apple. Then the next day, they told the same person, okay, now just imagine that you're eating the apple and picture it as vividly as you can, the way it tastes and feels. And they found the exact same amount of dopamine was released in the brain when they just imagined. So the brain doesn't know the difference between fantasy and reality. And if you think about it that way, those witches fucked me. What's the difference? When people ask me how I lost my virginity, I'm like, three witches, I was six. How about you? I'll do one more thing, is I wanted to explain to you that it wasn't just that I was a fan. Like, I found the fantasy of Bette Midler incredibly soothing. So this is how I can explain it. This is how I felt when I was at school and I was being asked to like participate in a group event and I couldn't just sit and think about Bette. This is how I felt. And then this is how I felt when I would get home and I could just sit and think about Bette. Cool. All right, thanks, guys.
Hello, this is Deborah Frances White from The Guilty Feminist, briefly interrupting The Guilty Feminist to tell you that I am on tour in Australia and New Zealand. The only date left with tickets now is the Auckland date, the extra show at 5 p.m. on the 29th of October. And then I will be back in the UK. On the 14th of December, I am doing the Standard Issue show in conversation with Sarah Millican on the 14th of December at Leicester Square Theatre, which I'm very excited about. If you're in London, get some friends together, come out for some drinks and have a bit of Christmas cheer with us. If you would like to donate to the Dahlia Project, you can either download our episode, the negotiation special, for £5 this month. All the proceeds go to the Dahlia Foundation. Or if you go to guiltyfeminist.com/Dahlia Project, at the moment, any £10 donation is matched by local giving. So if you give £10, they will end up with £20. If you give £20, they'll end up with £30. Also, our fabulous co-host for this week's episode, Mae Martin, is on tour with her show Dope. If you would like to know dates, go to maymartin.net. Go out and see her live. It really is amazing. You'll hear much more about Bette Midler and much, much more. Back to the podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I've read something about a pansexuality now. Because we're moving away from the binary as a society, and we're saying lots of people are not binary, the bi in bisexuality is in fact binary. It's two things. And pansexuality is fluidity. So you might, somebody who maybe identifies as neither male nor female, you might be attracted to. Is pansexuality a better term?
Yeah, but also I feel like with heterosexuality and homosexuality, like, if we just, why don't we just call it all human sexuality? I don't know why we have to even, because if you just call it, is all just human sexuality. It's so much harder to be human phobic than homophobic.
Oh,
that's an old thing. No,
oh, it's a joke. Nice. I'm going to put on a t-shirt.
Yeah. However, there is also an argument that because straight people are not oppressed and marginalised, we do need, for example, gay pride, because we're still living in a world where it's a bit like when people say, I don't see race. Like, well, then you're white, probably, because, you know, because you're just walking around.
Yeah,
all white, just like, you know, sometimes I'll just think about all the problems I don't have because I'm white, but we don't tend to, I have to sort of make myself do that because we only see the bad things that happen to us. We don't see the free stuff that we get. So absolutely
agree
that
we're not there yet.
In a fantasy futures, we don't have to fit into a binary box and we don't have to fit into a sexuality box. But given we're now in a situation where some people are marginalized and oppressed.
Oh, yeah, we're still, and visibility is still so important. Like Ellen being so, and Ellen was so important to me as well. And yeah, we're not there yet.
And
sure.
We're also not there in, like, in this country. Like, I've been homophobically heckled in London.
Same.
Like, right. I can fix you.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally my most consistent heckle that I've had. I've had it six times this year.
A man said, I can fix you.
Yeah. As in, like, they've got some sort of magic dick.
Jafar's hypnotism works.
Yeah, that's someone
if
who actually...
If you get heckled might... by Jafar, just be very careful, because his penis is magical. Just saying.
Did you, when you were growing up, did you ever... Like, a lot of my heroes were boys, like River
Leonardo
Phoenix.
DiCaprio.
Young Leo. Right. I was like, that's who I wanted to be, because, that's very confused, though. I wanted to sleep with him, I wanted to wear his shirts, I don't know.
But did you have that with girls as well? Like, oh, I love her, I want to be her friend, I want to be in love with her, I want her.
Yeah,
like,
it's just
like really...
Yeah, confusing.
I think most people are.
Yeah.
I generally scale. We talked about this, on another show, but I don't know if it's come out or if it's made the edit, but somebody was saying that 10% of people are gay and 10% of people are straight. Was that you?
Yeah, I
was just listening to the edit, that's it.
Yeah.
10% of people are straight and 10% of people are gay, and 80% of us are whatever.
Like, yeah, but I made that up. I mean, that is... I should say...
So, did you make that up?
No, that's my theory. That's my theory.
Okay. I believe it. I believe it, May.
It.
I love the idea of you, like, giving talks and being like, I have this fact.
Yeah.
Wait, it's from the Martin Institute. Where's that?
Yeah, Canada?
It came out of May's head, and we know what's been in there, so...
It's sullied.
I reckon that's about right, but I reckon...
It's a spectrum.
Because in a very real way, if you were on a desert island...
But also it can change throughout your life, I think, right? Who said like, it's... No,
I don't know. I just think...
I want to know what's happening on this desert island. I'm really confused about what that segue is. Sorry.
Well, you know Desert Island Discs?
Yeah. Are we about to do Desert Island Discs? Like, no. Okay, fine. Leo, sure, mate.
We're saying, would you have sex with Kirsty?
Yeah. Obviously, if I had to do Desert Island Dares, some of my Desert Island people...
Who would they be?
Women. Well, if you've only got, like, how many? Seven? Is it seven on Desert Island?
I don't understand this thing that we're doing. Well, choose
okay,
music.
We're on seven. Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, what if instead of songs, it were people?
That you could have sex with?
Yes.
So you'd throw some women in there?
Yeah, as soon as
you would.
As soon as you take it onto an island and you say that's locked down for the rest of your life, you'd have to be really uncurious. If you were just... This is a great idea for a reality show, by the way. I think it might be just Love Island, actually. I think I may be pitching Love Island.
I don't know. I'm a feminist, but I love Love Island. I've never seen Love Island.
Oh,
they're so stupid, it's great. I watch it and I'm like, oh, my IQ's fucking banging.
Please welcome to the stage, Deborah Francis White. So I have a role model, and I have written a piece about her because I want to do her justice, okay? So here it goes. It just says Siri not available, so that's... it's not the best thing I've ever written. Okay. Sorry, I just have to find it. May, could you busk? Yeah.
It must have been cold there in Ashland. Busk, didn't you?
Yeah. I'm just going to take a moment to say I really, really love working with funny women. I love the fact that I can go, because I just realised I stored this in my emails and I was like, so I'm going to be a couple of seconds. I'm just going to throw to her. I don't know what she's going to do. But it's so nice working with funny women because you go, I know she's going to do something. Do you know what I mean? And it's so delightful and surprising what she does because she has awesome comedy skills.
Did you ever know that you're my hero?
You know that's the right song for today. We should end on that. Yeah. Okay, we'll sing that together at the end. You have to remind us.
Yeah.
And we'll have to sing it in a way that copyright lawyers will not be able to determine that it's exactly the right tune, which will explain why I'm singing it like I'm singing it. Okay. Legal reasons. Okay. My role model is also my Elizabethan girl crush, Amelia Lanya. She was a poet, she was a proto-feminist, and she was a class warrior. She died neither virtuous nor young, as I intend to do. She became a record breaker for a woman because she died having given birth at 76. She wasn't giving birth at the time. Just women who gave birth in Elizabethan times often died young. She gave birth... and she still lived to 76. Your life expectancy as an Elizabethan woman was longer if you had no children. That's what I'm saying. Her closest rival died at 57. Shakespeare, her contemporary, died at 52, as expected. Some critics say that Amelia Lanya had an affair with Shakespeare and that she was the dark lady he wrote about in his sonnets. But I think, fuck Shakespeare. Why do women always have to be defined by the most famous man they've slept with? I don't want to be defined by John Hamm or John Stewart. Both men I know I will have an important sexual relationship with before I die. So I want to talk about Amelia Lanya on her own fucking merits. Did she know Shakespeare? Certainly. The population of London was then 86, and 49 of those people were poets and playwrights, because there was more funding for the arts under a bloodthirsty monarchy than there is under the current government. Shag? Probably, because things were really boring before Twitter. So people had to make their own entertainment, which usually consisted of word games and sexual intercourse. But I'm pretty sure both Amelia Lanya and Shakespeare shagged loads of people. They just didn't go on about it because they both had awesome careers.
She was born and christened in Bolthoff Bishopsgate, now near Liverpool Station, in 1569. Her father died of being Elizabethan when Amelia was seven, and her mother couldn't afford to keep all her children because she was only on twice the benefits single mothers are given under our current government. So she was sent into service at a country house called Cookham, run by Susan Bertie, Countess of Kent. Now, Susan Bertie, Countess of Kent, thought that she was a good influence on the daughters because she was so clever and she was chipping in. So she said, you might as well be educated too. Otherwise, she never would have learned to read. Now, when she was 18, I don't want you to be disappointed, but she became a wag. She started shagging Henry Carey, Lord Hunsdon. His mum was the other Boleyn girl. Do you know the other Boleyn girl? Yeah, that was his mother. He was said to be Henry VIII's illegitimate son. Now, she was 20 at the time. He was 65. He gave her £40 a year, and you could buy a lot of corsets and designer ruffs with that. These were her Hello magazine years, rubbing shoulders with celebrities such as Queen Elizabeth I, Marlowe, at Sir Francis Drake. She was a proper it girl. When she was 23, she got knocked up, which was one of the most tactless, crass things you could do in the court because the patriarchy goes way back. So he dropped her like a pregnant brick, the way Mae Martin would. She probably said, feel the baby kicking, and he went, oh, that's gross. It was at this point that I like to think that she realised how superficial the world of the court was, and she followed her heart. Enter Alfonso Lanya. He was her age. In fact, he was her cousin. But once removed, so it wasn't incest. Now, he was a musician. He was rock and roll. He was sexy. He played the most phallic instrument there was in Elizabethan times. He played the recorder. I imagine she was like with the groundlings in a mosh pit, and he was like, do, 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 do. And she was like, oh, he doth play such a lusty melody. Verily, I would blow his recorder. He played at Elizabeth I's funeral a few years later. She married Alfonso when she was pregnant with Lord Hunsdon's baby because she was a sex-positive, bodily autonomous woman who knew how to work it. When her husband died of rock and roll Elizabethan lifestyle, she inherited from her husband a hay weighing business that he'd been granted but had never really done anything with because he was a waster. So basically, in Elizabethan times, say you had a quantity of hay or straw, because they needed a lot of hay and straw then, someone might say to you, how much hay is that? And you'd go, I don't know. The Lanyas would weigh it for you. I guess so you could sell it, I don't know. So she leased it to her brother-in-law, who was called Innocent, and said, Innocent, if you run it, I'll take 50% of the profits, you can have 50% of the profits. But it turns out that Innocent was not so innocent, and he ripped her off. So she took him to court and won. She sued him a number of times, and for a woman in those days to be litigious was incredibly brave. Her son was a flute player. His dad had been a recorder player. You always want your kids to have more than you did. And then he died, and he left Amelia with two grandchildren to take care of, and she needed more money. So she opened a school, and when the landlord wouldn't fix the roof and, you know, things were going wrong, she deducted £10 for repairs from her rent, and he had her arrested. And he sued her. She countersued and won! But he had her arrested again the following year, and the thing with parents is they lose confidence in a school if the headmistress is always being arrested. So she ended up having to shut it down, and she started writing poetry. Now, if you were on Dragon's Den and someone came in and asked you to invest £50,000 in a successful hay-weighing business, a school with a strong corporate responsibility programme, or a book of poetry, you'd have to say that would be the one that wouldn't take off. But it did. She was the first woman to professionally publish a book of poetry in this country. Ever. Give a big round of applause for that. There were rich, posh women that did it as a vanity project, but not for money. But she was the first one that just went, I need money. Here's a book of poems. I'm going to sell it. She got it published. She's the first published woman, really, essentially, in this country. And do you know why you haven't heard of her? She's a woman. She's Shakespeare's sister. And she wrote the most incredible book of poetry. It was called Salve Deus Rex Studiorum. And the main poem, this was the thesis of it, women are blamed for the fall. Basically, in those times especially, it was always said women were the sinful ones because Eve had made Adam eat the fruit. And it was a really big deal. Everyone was super religious and women were really blamed. And astoundingly, not only did she get away with this, but she sold loads of copies. She wrote a poem and said, "But were we? Was Eve, really?" And she used the arguments of the Bible and the church back in order to prove that women were not at fault. And she basically says, if men are lord of all, how was it her fault? She says, for Adam was lord and king of all the earth before poor Eve had either life or breath. And she basically goes on and says, well, he was meant to be the strong one. He knew what was going on. She was seduced by the snake. What the fuck? And then she goes on to say, and this is the big one, she honestly goes on to say, and even if we are responsible for the fall, you men killed Jesus.
Great.
I'm going to read you this bit. This is from the introduction. She says, as also in respect, it pleased our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, without the assistance of man, being free from original and all other sins from the time of his conception, till the hour of his death, to be begotten of a woman, born of a woman, nourished of a woman, obedient to a woman, and that he healed women, pardoned women, comforted women, yea, even when he was in his greatest agony and bloody sweat going to be crucified, and also in the last hour of his death took care to dispose of a woman, after his resurrection appeared first to a woman, sent a woman to declare his most glorious resurrection to the rest of his disciples. And then she basically goes on to say, so if you don't like women, you don't like Jesus. Thank you very much.
Who were your heroes growing up?
My heroes growing up.
It's a confusing line between crushes and heroes, isn't it? When you're a kid.
Yeah.
Like Bette Midler, I don't know what I felt about her. I just...
A lot of feelings.
A lot of feelings, yeah. But I idolized her. She's wicked. I'm seeing her in September in New York on Broadway.
I thought you meant for coffee.
Hello, Dolly. Oh, no. Oh, God, imagine.
I really wanted to get her on the show. I've been like, how close is this show to having Bette Midler on it is often a question in my mind.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking it's got to...
Sometimes you just have to ask and people don't ask.
Do you know what? I composed a tweet to her. This is really funny. Yes. Ages ago. And then I deleted it because I was just like, before I sent it, I was just like, this is ridiculous. I can't just tweet Bette Midler and go, do you want to be on my podcast?
You can. It's a direct line to Bette Midler. Twitter's amazing like that, isn't it?
I'm just going to hold off a little bit. Like, if I had a show set up in America, I would tweet her and I would also contact her agent.
Yeah.
If that happens, Mae Martin, will you come out and co-host it?
Oh, my God.
Can I come and just be there?
Yeah.
Right.
I literally, my eyes are filling with tears. I don't know what, I can't.
She is crying.
Just imagining it. I don't know what... I'd freak.
Would you be all right to do the show?
I'd keep it together. Yeah.
She would not keep it together.
If she was like, I put a spell on you, remember that?
With her hypnotist wand.
Yeah. Thing is, I think my idea of Bette Midler is different to the reality, probably. She, in my mind, she's like this sassy dame. In reality, she's quite an intellectual, quiet, shy person.
I have a friend that went to see her in Las Vegas and, like, must be getting, like, crazy money. And halfway through, apparently she laid on the floor and went, I'm so bored of this show.
Oh! Bette Midler did?
I would love that.
I guess she's cool.
Does anyone have a quick question?
Oh, God. What's your fantasy date with Bette Midler? Where do you go?
Fantasy date with Bette Midler?
Fantasy date. I'm her stage manager. It's her Vegas show.
You thought about this so much.
Oh, my God. Do you have anything you'd like to plug, Mae Martin?
On August 23rd, I got a half-hour special on Comedy Central coming out, so watch it. Yeah. And then a one-hour special that you can download, I don't know where, in September.
I was just going to quickly ask you, do you know when that Zayn Malik and... what's Zayn Malik's girlfriend called?
Gigi Hadid.
Gigi. that was too far. When that cover came out and people got very angry because they were saying switching clothes is not gender fluidity, I did think, on the other side of that, if you were a non-binary teen or you're a queer teen in some way, having a sort of... very famous boy band, very famous model, switching clothes does make your life a little bit easier at school, doesn't it? If you're
for
just
sure.
like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? I did think, like, people have I understand the response, but I also think it would be great to also celebrate that we're at a time now when one of the most famous boy band people, like role models in the world.
And like, pick your battles, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it was a good thing. Yeah. Because if I was at school and I'd be like, see, I can wear this, fuck it. Zayn Malik's wearing this.
Yeah.
Gigi's wearing that. Totally. Fuck you. Susie Ruffle.
Yeah, hi.
What have you got to plug?
I have a show that is called Keeping It Classy, and it's about class and feminism and being gay and loads of other stuff, really. Also, that I was a member of Reptile Club. Come see it. It's on every day in the Pleasance Courtyard at 9:45.
To keep track of everything we're up to, you can follow Guilt Fem Pod on Twitter or The Guilty Feminist on Instagram. There's also a Facebook page you can like and a mailing list you can sign up to. And if you like what you hear, please go to what we're now supposed to call Apple Podcasts and rate, review, and subscribe. It helps other people discover the show.
Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I try to be.
So I'm gonna cry.
I can fly higher than an eagle. Because you are the wind beneath my wings. Frances White, guest co-host Faye Martin, and our very special guest Susie Ruffle. The recording engineer was Gary Boyle. Music was by Mark Hodge. The producer was Tom Selinsky for the spontaneity show. Thanks to Tony, Hannah of PBJ Live, everyone at the Underbelly, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com.
Today, yep. And so we need to crack on with the feminism.
Do I say something too? Or
no? No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say...
I mean, you guys have to be so patient with me.
No, we don't at all. I mean, because there's no need for patience. Yeah. Not like, don't be patient with her.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that.
No, be really harsh.
Hi, I'm Sophie Hagen. You may know me from such things as co-hosting episode 1 to 29 of The Guilty Feminist. I'm just here to let you know that I'm on tour of the UK and Denmark with my brand new stand-up show Dead Baby Frog, which is about emotional abuse. My whole tour is anxiety safe, it has gender-neutral toilets and disabled access all around. Go to sophiehagen.com to find out what I mean by that, to find out where I'll be and to get tickets. And whilst you're there, sign up for my newsletter. And why not listen to my new project, The Made of Human Podcast. Bye!
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.